Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
All right, everybody, it's 6:30. It's time for us to start, and we've been looking forward to tonight for a long, long time, and we're so very thankful and grateful that all of you are here on such a busy, busy Friday night. I know your lives are busy. You got challenges and things going on, other places you could be, other things you could be doing, but you are here, and we're thankful and grateful. Thank you so much. We're so very honored to have the Whitaker family with us, and Rob's going to speak to us here in just a moment. I'm going to have just a few things to say, and then Brother Mike House will lead us in prayer, and then Rob will speak to us. And so we're so very thankful for what they do for the brotherhood, and that we're living in a generation where there is a Rob Whitaker and a school of evangelism. I started really getting excited about this about a year and a half ago, and Pat Cowden was here one Sunday, and they just had this over at Chase Park, and he said, "Man, I want to tell you how this has changed our church, and there's this baptism and this baptism and that baptism," and I had nothing to do with any of them. And then Chris Miller over at Hatton Church of Christ, same thing. And so we're just so very excited. So the Whitaker family travels all the time. They do this over and over again, and they have perfected and mastered this system. And he's going to teach us a lot. They're going about 43 weeks out of the year doing this. And so I know it's a great sacrifice, but we're so very thankful for them. So we're going to have a session tonight, this session, and then we'll have a little break, and then a 7:30 session. And then tomorrow will be 10, 11. We'll be providing lunch, and then at 1 and 2. And we'll also have providing babysitting as well. And then on Sunday, we'll be here at 9 o'clock. And then the Bible class hour, sixth grade and adult, will be in here, at a combined class. And then our last session will be at 12:45. And after the Bible class session Sunday morning, we will have a potluck fellowship.
Wow, the Friday night. And there are hundreds of souls that have come tonight to learn how to reach the lost. I can't think that God looks down upon his kingdom tonight in Huntsville, Alabama. And we know Friday nights are busy nights, but you have chosen to be here because there's something inside of you tonight that says, I need to learn how to reach my friends and my family. I commend you to God tonight because this is an opportunity to change. And this is the kind of change that elders want. This is the kind of change that every preacher of the gospel wants. This is the type of change that helps us be more like Jesus. I want you tonight to do a couple of things with me because this is going to go very quickly. And obviously, there's a lot of training involved, so let's go ahead and get started. You have your cell phone, your smartphone tonight. You go to your YouTube page. I want you to subscribe to House School of Evangelism because I need to start getting you training videos. I've got 105 five-minute videos, and we're going to use those as part of our training. So if you have your smartphone, if you've got a YouTube page, go ahead and save that. Go ahead and subscribe. Because we're going to be using this as we move forward. Number two, on the front chairs here of this auditorium, Brother Paul, there are some clipboards. If we could get some young men to start going around the audience, and if you don't recognize this symbol, we need you to use the clipboards. We have used them for 6,000 years. They never fail. Just go ahead and put your name and email address on the clipboard. If you understand this symbol right now, and I don't have to explain what it is. If you're taking a picture of it, it's not, you don't understand it. Put your camera on it, click the link, and this is how we're going to send you training material. So in our school, this is a school, we've got to train you. We've got to provide teaching material. So in order to do that, we use an email system, and we use YouTube videos. And so you can help us if you'll go ahead and do those two things right now. Take your smart device, subscribe to the YouTube channel, take that QR code. If you don't understand QR codes, Brother Paul or someone, could we circulate the clipboard? Just start them circulating right now. And we'll make sure that those go around the auditorium. And therefore, we can start getting those signed up if you don't use a QR code. Now, I will have this QR code come right back up. So during the lessons, if you miss it now, you can get it later. My name is Rob Whitaker. I direct the House to House Heart to Heart School of Evangelism, and you are going into a spiritual boot camp. This is a boot camp to train Christians how to be soldiers. We have one mission in the Church of Christ. Sadly, some of us don't know the mission, but there's one mission given in the New Testament for the Christian to do, just one. And that mission is succinctly stated in all four accounts of the gospel and in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament letters. And that mission is to seek and save the lost. It is exactly what Jesus came to do. And tonight, here's just some facts. If you want to be like the Son of God, if you're saying, I want to be more like Jesus, you can't accomplish that if you're not seeking and saving the lost, because that was the mission of Christ. His life was devoted to this. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to learn how. Friends, we're talking about the very life of the Church of Christ. And if we want the Church of Christ to remain, if we want the Church of Christ to grow, if we want to save our youth, I'm asked all the time, how do you save the young people? Teach them the mission. Get them involved in the mission. Show them how to perform the mission. Make sure that we understand that their job, our job, is not just to sit in a chair, go through the five acts of worship, check our boxes, but our mission is to reach out to the lost. And if we could equip and train our people how to do that, it will transform our churches. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Brother, there's not a wiser thing to do in a church. If we want to know how to save our churches, how churches can grow, this is it. So in this first lesson, I have a mountain to climb. It's Mount Everest. It's the biggest mountain in evangelism. And it's the mountain of unbelief. It's Mount Unbelief. And it permeates through our pews. It permeates through our auditoriums. We don't believe this works. And I've got to overcome that mountain with you in this lesson. In the year 2000, we had 13,155 churches of Christ. In the year 2009, we had 12,629 churches of Christ. In 2015, we had 12,300 churches of Christ. In 2018, 11,965 churches of Christ. 2021, 11,905 churches of Christ. Does anybody see a pattern? Brethren, we're losing churches every single year. In this country, churches are closing their door. We're looking at the churches of Christ losing ground annually. In fact, it is estimated right now we're losing about 120 a year. The numbers will come out at the end of this year, and I understand they're not going to look good. But I want us to look at membership. Here they are. 2000, 1,265,000 church members. 2009, 1,224,000 church members. 2015, 1,180,000 church members. 2018, 1,128,000 church members. 2021, 1,112,000 church members. Brethren, we are hemorrhaging church members. We are literally watching the Church of Christ disintegrate in the United States of America. We have not seen a growth rate in the Church of Christ of any sustainability for almost more than 40 years. Let me give you some historical perspective. Go back to the year 1906, a population of this nation of 85 million people, members of the Church of Christ, 159,000. Brethren, that is a ratio of one Christian to every 535 people. That means you're gonna walk across the mountains or the hills of middle Alabama, and you're gonna come to 535 people before you come to a member of the Church of Christ. Let's see what happened in the next 40 years. 40 years later, America, 141 million, U.S. Census Bureau. Members of the Church of Christ, estimated 682,000. Now the ratio is 1 to 207. So he cut it in half in 40 years. Let me give you more good news. 7 years later, we did it again. and 160 million people in the country, 1.5 million members of the Lord's church. We doubled in size, and now the ratio is 1 to 106. Let's go down to 1967, 1973. The ratio is cut to 1 to 84. I want you to look at those numbers very carefully, and I want you to notice some things. Historically speaking, what happened? We grew during World War I. We grew during the Spanish flu. Millions of people died. We grew during the Great Depression. We grew during World War II. We grew during Korea, Vietnam, the Civil Rights Movement. We grew during the feminist movement. We grew during every major upheaval this nation has faced. The Church of Christ overcame, adapted, and grew. Not anymore. Since that time, we have done nothing but decline. Brethren, in our numbers today, they're not even that good because COVID gutted our ranks and it's a lagging number. We'll find out where we really are at the end of this year. But what I can do is show you trends. I don't want you to look at any one year. I want you to look at the trend. And the trend is that we're losing. In fact, if your football coach for the University of Alabama had a record like that, you'd fire him. You wouldn't let him continue. If a board of directors wanted a report from their for the stockholders and you gave them the report and it looked like those numbers, you'd fire the whole board. What we have seen over and over again is that the Lord's church in this nation is losing ground. Now, the question is often asked, why? Why are we losing ground? And I've heard a lot of answers. I've heard apathy. I don't believe that's it. I've heard a lot of materialism. It's not it. Brother, there have been materialistic societies before. That's not it. Let me give you the reason why tonight we're not growing. We don't believe. We don't believe it works. We don't believe you can reach your neighbor. It doesn't work in America. Now, we'll do it in India. We'll do it in Jamaica. We'll go to New Zealand. We'll go to Scotland. We'll go to Tanzania. Listen, we're all in. And when it comes to filling an airplane and going to a foreign country and writing a big check and sending our funds everywhere around the world, we're all in. But what I find, it's time to evangelize our local communities. Where are the brethren? We don't believe it works. We haven't seen it. And we have now come to a point in our churches where evangelism is more connected with Jamaica than it is the United States of America. We're more prepared to go anywhere in the world but Huntsville, anywhere in the world but Jacksonville, anywhere in the world but our own places of abode. We have seen failure for so long. I cannot tell you how many elders I sit down with every single year. Every church I go to, I sit with elders polishing the pulpit. I sat with 25 elderships last year. And in their eyes, so we want to grow, we just don't know how. Our members don't believe. How can we even reach America? Is it even feasible? Is it possible that we can grow in the midst of what we're facing in this nation? Can the church adapt? Can we reach the lost? So the question is, why are we here? I preached full time for 22 and a half years. My last work was at the Willett Church of Christ. I was there 11 and a half years. I built my wife's dream home. The cemetery plots were already located. We weren't going anywhere. Then how did I get here? Where did the school of evangelism come from? Why are you doing this? Let me explain why. I sat in my office one afternoon. My phone rang. I picked it up. And he said, my name's Chris Coyle. I'm a preacher. And are you the preacher? And I said, yes, sir, Rob Whitaker. He said, well, I preach at the Somerville Church of Christ. I said, well, nice to meet you, Chris. He said, I need your help. I said, what do you need? He said, well, I've got a new member named Scarlett Mitchell. And she was a Birdville. And she's recently become a Christian. Before they married, her husband converted her. And she's got some parents that live right there in Red Bowling Springs. And she's been talking to her mom. And we need someone to go do a Bible study with her parents. I said, that's exciting. I said, I'm all in. I said, Chris, you can count. Who are they? Jackie and Sheila Bird. I got my piece of paper. I wrote it down. I said, you can count on me, Chris. I love evangelism, and I'll be right there. I said, Chris, what day is the study scheduled for? He said, Rob, we haven't scheduled a day yet. I said, no problem.
I said, Chris, morning, noon, or night, you can count on me. I said, Chris, I will be there. I said, I promise you this will happen. I said, Chris, one more question before we hang up. I said, when did they request this study? He said, well, they haven't yet. What? I said, well, Chris, what are you talking about? I said, what do you mean they haven't requested a study? I said, what do you think I'm going to do? Just walk up to the house of Jackie and Sheila Birdwell, knock on the door? Hi, my name is Rob Whitaker. I'm here to do a Bible study. It won't work very well. I said, Chris, what do you expect me to do? And he said, well, I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do. He said, really, that's your problem now, but I'll let William and Scarlett know that I called you. Got off the phone with Chris, and I looked at that piece of paper, and I said, that's a waste of time. I said, well, I mean, this isn't going to work. I said, I literally crinkled it up, placed it in my waste paper basket, and I got back to the important things, like folding church bulletins, things that really matter. I'm going to have my church bulletin out there, and I folded it just like I'm supposed to, and I put it on the stand, and I got back in my truck. I'm going home. You know, it's Saturday. Rob Whitaker, what are you doing? Get back in your office. You can't throw two souls away. So I walked back in my office. I got the piece of paper out. I put it on my desk. I got back in the truck and I went home. I didn't sleep well that night. I got up the next morning and I did my job, the work of a preacher. I got up and I preached my Bible class. I taught it and I preached my sermon. I went to the nursing home ministry. I preached again. I went back Sunday evening. I preached again. I got back to the house. I'm exhausted. I can't sleep again because all I think about are Jackie and Sheila Birdwell. I've got two people that I'm supposed to reach with the gospel, brethren, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to approach them. I don't know how to get a door open. And I got to the office the next day, and I literally stared at that piece of paper, and I did not know what to do. It hollowed me out. I bowed my head, and I said, God, I need help. I said, I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to go, and I promised this preacher I would go, this family, that I would try to reach Jackie and Sheila Birdwell. I don't know them. I don't know how to do it. I prayed for a door of utterance to be opened. I prayed for wisdom. I prayed for courage. I helped me be like, what would Jesus do? I got done with the prayer. I felt better, but I know that's not enough. And so I decided at that point that I was going to do something I've never done before. I don't know of any, I don't know of any other time in my life where I've heard of it. But what I want to do is something very, very intentional. I want to do a Bible study on the Bible studies of Christ. All I'm going to do is look at how Jesus reached lost people. I'm going to narrow it down. I'm not looking at anything else. Just how did he do it? So I began in Matthew, and I just started going through the New Testament, you know, and I started learning things, like things that Jesus did that made him very effective. There are things he did every time he met people. And I noticed the things that Jesus did, I did not do those things. And the things that I did that I thought made me just great evangelists, he didn't do those things. So at this very point in my ministry, I'm learning. I'm writing these things down. I came up with seven principles in the life of Christ that made him the greatest evangelist who ever lived. And so in this seminar, I want to teach you those seven things. What did he do that made him so good? So I'm learning those things. Now, in that process, Jonathan Smith comes home from college. He's at the University of Knoxville. He's graduated from UT. He comes home. His family's all in the Red Bowling Springs area. And he walks in my office. He says, hey, Rob. He says, I'm home. I've graduated. I got a job at Clay County Schools. He's telling me about his future. He's met this young lady at the Carnes Church of Christ in Knoxville. They're going to get married. Everything's going well. And then Jonathan looked at me. And he said, Rob, I'm going to go visit my best friend, Evan Birdwell. Wait a minute. I said, Jonathan, is he related to Jackie and Sheila Birdwell? Rob, that's their son. He's my best friend. That's my second set of parents. I grew up in that home. I said, so you know them? He says, yeah, I know them. He says, Rob, he says, I said, Jonathan, take me with you. He said, well, why would you want to go, you know, meet Evan? I said, I'll explain on the way. So I got in the car. We're going to the house. I said, Jonathan, you have one thing I need you to do. He said, what is it? Get me in the door and don't tell him I'm your preacher. I said, I can do that. I said, okay. So we go to the door. He knocks on it and he opens the door. Sheila, Jonathan. I mean, she wrapped him up, you know. Jackie, Jonathan's home from college, you know. And so Jackie comes to the door, and we're all hugging and things. And I'm just kind of standing back, you know. And she looks up and says, "Now, Jonathan, who's that man right there?" And Jonathan says, "Well, he's just a friend of mine. He just wanted to come along." "Well, any friend of Jonathan is a friend of mine. Sir, you come on in." So I walked in like any good Southern woman. She had sweet tea and chocolate chip cookies waiting. And I sat around the table, and we were just visiting, right? I mean, it just couldn't go better. And they're just talking about life and things. And finally, we got to the awkward moment. That's like when no one talks. They have no idea who I am. I'm in their house. "Sir, who'd you say you were again?" I said, "Well, ma'am, my name is Rob Whitaker." And you ready? "I'm the preacher for the Willette Church of Christ, and I think you have a lot of questions for me." "Jackie, the preacher for the Church of Christ is in this house." She says, "I just can't believe it." And she said, "Preacher, I do have questions for you." I said, "Ask them." And she did, one right after the other. It's like she had rehearsed them. I mean, it was just question after question after question after question. So I'm going to do something that I've never done in my life. Up to this point, I have never done this. I was taught, or my understanding of evangelism changed completely that day. I'm not going to answer any questions. What I'm going to do is take her question and defer it. And then I'm going to ask my own question. And I did it. And I kept doing it. And I didn't answer any questions she asked. I just kept deferring the question. I'm not going to get this into a back and forth. I'm very conversational. In other words, it's a very easy discussion. Nothing awkward. I'm very respectful, but I'm just not answering directly any of her questions. Now, she's enjoying the conversation we're having. And after 10, 15 minutes, you can see she's a little confused. And she looks at her husband. She said, "Jackie, why won't that preacher answer my questions?" That's exactly what I wanted. And I said, "Well, Sheila, that's a pretty good observation you just made." And she said, "Well, why won't you answer them?" And I said, "Well, I'm not a very good teller, but I'm an excellent shower." I said, "You know, I think if we just sat down and you read the Bible, you'd find the answers." "Preacher, are you trying to do a Bible study with me?" I said, "Now, Sheila, you call it whatever you want to." I said, "I just think we need to read the Bible." She looks at her husband, and this is what she said. "Jackie, do you think we can do a Bible study with a preacher for the Church of Christ?" He looks at his wife. He says, "Now, honey, I don't think it's ever wrong to study the Bible." I said, "Well, what would you like to do?" She says, "Well, I'll do this study with you, preacher. If it's a secret study, no one can know." Brethren, I've never done a secret study in my life. I don't even know what that is. And I said, "I'm all in." So I left that night, and it was great. I mean, I went back to my family, and I told Hannah, Jared, Nicole, I said, "Man, this is what we've been wanting." I said, we worked so hard to get here. I said, "I did exactly what I studied in the life of Christ, and it worked. I've got the study." Sure enough, I went to the church that Sunday, and I'm going to do something that, this is new. This is unpaved ground. I went before the church. I said, "Church," I said, "we're going to do something this morning we've never done before, and we're going to practice congregational evangelism, and I need your help to convert somebody in this community. And I can't do this alone. The first thing I need you to do is pray. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for them, and I can't give you the name." I said, "But they're prominent people in this community. I need you to start praying. I want you to pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Just pray that the words will be right. Pray for tender and soft hearts. Pray for the power of the gospel." I said, "Because I'm going to need your help." And I started to think, can we engage the church in these Bible studies? And that's how we started. So I went to the house Tuesday night, and we got up and sat around the table. She had a kitchen table, and we sat around it. And I said, "Sheila," I said, "I just so happen to have these little booklets." And I said, if it's okay with you, I said, "We'll turn to John 8:32, fill in the blank. It's real easy." She said, "Now you just wait a minute, preacher." She says, "You know I'm saved." I said, "Sheila, I'm not the judge." I said, "We're just here to read the Bible." And she says, "Well, I need to tell you all about my religious experience." I said, "Well, go ahead and begin." I got my pen out, I got my paper out, and she began. Now, Rob, it was a dark and stormy night. This is not what I said, okay. And so she writes it. You know, I'm writing, I dark and stormy. And she said, Rob, I was driving along the road and the lightning was striking and the winds were blowing. And Rob, it was the rain was falling. And she said, Rob, she's all of a sudden, the lightning struck the tree caught on fire, came over the road. She said, Rob, at that very moment, I knew I was going to die. I shut my eyes and the Holy Spirit came down, took over the car, moved me out. You're laughing at me. You're laughing at me. You don't believe me, do you? She looked at me and said those very words. I wasn't laughing, Brother James. She thought I would, but I didn't. I said, Sheila, listen. I said, I'm just writing down everything you say. If that's what you said happened. She said, it happened just like that. And all of a sudden, Jesus came down into my heart to be my personal Savior. And I was saved. And Rob, I went to church on Sunday. And the pastor said, Sheila, do you need to testify? And she says, I do. And she testified about it. And then they voted. It was unanimous. She has been saved. She says, Rob, I just want you to know that. And I said, well, Sheila, thank you for sharing. Would it be okay now if we read John 8:32? She said, yes. I said, well, let's open our Bibles. We opened the Bible to John 8:32. You can open it right with me tonight. The green booklet. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I said, Sheila, what set you free? She said, well, the truth. I said, put it in the blank. And she did. And I said, Jackie, let's read the next one. And so Jackie went into the scripture and he read it. And I said, Jackie, and I asked him the question. He got it right. And we just kept building. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I want them convicted to God because of his word and not because of me. And I keep having them read passage after passage. And their faith builds and builds. And at the end of the lesson, Sheila looked at her husband and she says, Jackie, I've learned more in this study. I didn't know I wasn't under the Old Testament. And Jackie looked at me and he said, Rob, I need to talk. And I said, what do you got? He said, do you know I'm the deacon of the local church there in the community? I'm the deacon there. I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, Rob, I'm also their Bible class teacher. I said, Jackie, you must love God's word and be a great servant to be a deacon and a Bible class teacher. He said, now, Rob, he says, I'm also their treasurer. I said, Jackie, you must be a good steward, very trustworthy to be a treasurer. He said, well, I don't know. I do my best. He said, Rob, I teach the Bible class every Sunday. He said, I didn't know I wasn't under the Old Testament. Rob, I didn't know I wasn't under the Ten Commandments. Rob, I learned a lot in this session. I said, Jackie, would you like to learn more? He said, I would. I said, can I come back for the next study? He said, yeah, we'd like you to come back. So I go back home again. I am so excited because I saw humility. I saw a man who was willing to do whatever the Bible taught. He's got a good heart. And I told him the call. I said, we're going in the right direction. And so we come back for the second lesson. And we let a few days transpire. We meet again, right? And we start with the Church of Christ. And we go through the church. And we're looking at the foundation, the establishment of the organization they're in, the worship of the church, the name of the church. And you can just see their eyes. Sheila looks at Jackie and she says, Jackie, why aren't we taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? I don't know. So I've never seen that verse before. It was an incredible study. I finished that second study and I could tell the mountain is moving. I could see a glimmer of faith in their eyes. I know that we're heading towards the cross. I realized that this is doing exactly what it needs to do. And so again, once again, I went back. I told my family all about what happened. We're praying about it. The church is praying about this. Because I know if this conversion takes place, this is going to rattle the Willett Church of Christ more than anything else, maybe in its history. Right before that last study, I called Scarlett. I needed to know why. I asked her, I said, Scarlett, why'd you become a Christian? Why'd you leave the religion of your family? I need to know why. She kept me on the phone for a very long time. She told me several things were powerful. I want to share something with you. There's some things she said that really moved me. And I'm going to share it with you in this next lesson. But I wanted to learn more about why she changed. She gave me what I was looking for. Jonathan and I are in the car. We're driving up the gravel driveway for the last study. And right before I get there, Jackie looks out the window and he sees me coming. And he looks at his wife. He says, Sheila, she says, I've learned a lot in these studies. I know why Scarlett did what she did. I get it. He said, but Sheila, I've been in this church all of my life and I'm going to die here. I'm not changing. And Sheila looked at Jackie and said, shoot, Jackie. She said, Grandmama goes to this church. She says, Mama goes to this church. Aunt so-and-so plays the piano. And she says, I'm going to die in this church. That discussion took place minutes before I knocked on the door. Brother, never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Brother, I sat around that table and we opened the Bible and we started that study. And I mean, they're all in. We're at sin and they get it. We're at faith and they're on point. We're at repentance and they're right there. Confession, no problem. And when we get to baptism, we had a big problem. The problem is that they got it. Jackie put his head down and tears just started to swell up in his eyes. And Sheila, she won't even look at me. And I know he's got it. I know he's got it. I looked at Jackie. I said, Jackie, I said, I know you got it. I just need to know what you want to do. What is it you want to do, Jackie? And he looked up at me and he says, Rob, I know exactly what I'm going to do. And he looked at his wife and says, we're going to do it. She looked at him. She hit him in the gut. And she said, Jackie, you said we weren't going to do that. He looked back at his wife and he said, honey, we have no choice. It's what the Bible says. Chills ran up and down my spine. I don't know if I've ever heard a statement like that in a Bible study. And I said, Jackie, let's go right now. Let's go to the church. But he said, Rob, I can't. So I went into closing mode. I went to four verses I used for closing. I went to James 4, life is a vapor. Acts 26, almost thou persuadest me. Same hour of the night. And I went to today's the day of salvation. And I went to every passage I could. He wouldn't budge. I finally just looked at Jackie. I don't get it. You and Sheila know you're lost. I said, let's go and let's be saved tonight. And he looked at me and he says, I can't do it tonight, Rob. I hold the bag. So I'm lost again. I said, Jackie, explain. He said, Rob, I'm the treasurer. All the money for this church is in my house. We don't use the bank. He said, I must resign and I must give it back. He says, and then you'll see me. He says, Rob, I will do it. He says, in fact, you can come to this house every day until I do. I said, don't worry, we will. And we did every day. And brethren, there is something about conversion, and it's called repentance. It doesn't take long for a 15-year-old young man to repent. It takes a lot longer for a 55-year-old man to do it. He had changes in his life he needed to make, and he wanted to make them. In fact, it was a Wednesday night. I was standing in the back of the auditorium, and sure enough, I was talking to Sister Jill. And she's one of the deacon's wives. And she looked up and she said, Rob, do you know who that is? I said, I do. She said, Rob, that is Jackie and Sheila Birdwell in this church. I said, it is. Do you realize what this means? Wait a minute. She said, Rob, is that the family you've been studying with, the one we've been praying about? I said, it is. I can't believe it. Do you believe? I'm asking you tonight, do you believe? Do you believe this works? Jill is looking at them. They are standing in our foyer, and she says, I can't believe it. Brethren, they sat in that auditorium that night, and when the invitation song was led, they walked up, and they sat on the front pew. And I don't believe there was a dry eye in the entire auditorium. The church wept. They saw something that they didn't believe was possible. That conversion changed the Willett Church of Christ. That conversion changed me. My family has never been the same since then. Brethren, I learned that there is something about evangelism that we're missing. And I begin to put it together, and I want to teach you what I've learned. And what I learned is that evangelism is not a personal thing. It's a congregational thing. It's something the entire church can be involved in. In fact, let me share with you just a few more slides. This is Jackie 6 months later in the pulpit doing a Wednesday night devotional. The whole church believes. And I looked at my wife, I said, this is one of many, and we're just getting started. And I want my next contact, and I know who it's going to be. It's a son, and his name is Evan. And it wasn't just a few days after that conversion, I'm with Jackie and she. I said, Jackie, I said, we need to convert Evan. He doesn't know what you know. And I said, Jackie, what do you think about me doing a Bible study with Evan? He said, now, Rob, he said, Evan doesn't quite work that way. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, he just needs a personal Bible study. He said, well, now, Rob, Evan's a little different. I said, Jackie, we're all different. He needs a personal Bible study. He said, now, Rob, Evan, a little backward. I said, Jackie, we live in Macon County, Tennessee. We are all backwards out here. That's why we live here. I said, he needs a Bible study. He said, now, Rob, it just won't work. Sheila was listening. She came over to me and she said, Jackie, you know our son needs a Bible study. Rob, get over there and do a Bible study with my son. Well, I chose to listen to Sheila. And I walked over to her son and I said, hey, Evan, I said, there have been some changes in your life. I said, how about you and me sit down and we'll open our Bibles and just talk. And he looked at me square in the eyes. I don't want to talk about it. That's it. And I developed something on that very day. I call it my contact list. Brethren, when I put you on my list, I am relentless. I never give up. I told my wife, I said, I will get to Evan. I said, it's just a matter of time. I said, I'm going to continue every day. Every time I see him, I'm going to work towards getting him to the Word of God. And so every time I saw Evan, I tried to strengthen our relationship because I know that I've got to get somehow gain his trust. So I'm at the house a lot doing these new convert studies. Nicole and I keep doing them, you know. And Evan would stop. We would talk. And I noticed that when I talked about airplanes, he really liked that subject. So I said, Evan, do you like airplanes? He said, I like them. I said, do you know I'm a pilot? He said, yeah. I said, would you like to go up in a plane? He said, you take me? I said, sure. Really? I said, yes. He said, man, I said, what about tomorrow? He said, I'll come, Rob. I said, okay. I said, you meet me at the airport tomorrow in Lafayette, and I'll take you for a flight. I said, where do you want to go? He said, I want to fly around Salina Lake. I said, that's a great lake. Beautiful. Sure enough, he meets me at the airport. We do our walk around. We get in the plane. I taxi her down. We take off. I climb up to about 5,000 feet. Brethren, you can baptize anybody at 5,000 feet, let me tell you. You just roll it over. They're very susceptible. No, it's not what I do. It's not the plan. We flew around. We land the plane, right? I got him right where I want him. I said, Evan, I said, today's your day. I said, I want to take you out to eat. I said, what's your favorite restaurant? There's only a Subway. It's a preacher special, Glenn, 2 for $4. And so he said, hey, how about Subway? I said, that's great. We sit in the Subway. We're looking across the table at each other. And finally, I've got him. I said, Evan, would it be okay if I talked to you about Jesus? I don't want to talk about Jesus. And he went back to his food. Brother, I could not believe what he just said. And as we were finishing the meal, he looked up. He said, Rob, he said, by the way, when I'm ready to talk about Jesus, you'll be the first to know about it. And I smiled. I said, I'm getting closer. I went back home. I said, Nicole, we're this close. I said, he gave me an opening. And so I'm going to keep working him, right? And so it wasn't just a couple months later. I'm at Bible camp and something strange happened at Bible camp. It normally doesn't happen. I got a phone call. There's no cell service out there. But I happened just to pick up one. And I picked up my phone. I said, hello, Rob. Yes, this is Amy. I don't know who this is. Yes, ma'am. Rob, I think I'm going to hell. Can you do a Bible study with me? I've never gotten a phone call like that in my life. And I was stunned. I said, well, Amy, I said, why do you think you're going to hell? And she says, well, Scarlett Evans' sister gave me this book called Muscle and a Shovel. Has anybody ever heard of that book before? Raise your hand. Okay, look at that. And I said, listen, I've read it. I think I'm lost. Can you and Nicole do a Bible study? I said, yes. I said, we can. Amy, as soon as I get home, we'll set the study up. She says, good. She said, Rob, I have one condition. I said, what is it? Well, you got to do the Bible study with Evan too. I said, Amy, Evan doesn't want to do the Bible study. She says, I know. That's your problem now. I said, how does this keep happening to me? I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I want you to ask Evan's mom, Sheila, to make Evan's favorite meal on Sunday. We'll come over for a new convert study, but instead we'll do a Bible study with you. He'll say, problem solved. And she says, I like it. I said, okay, Amy, let's make it happen. So sure enough, we get it all prepared. We're at the house eating. Evan's sitting right in front of me. Everything's going great. We finished the meal. I pull out the little, I just so happen to have these little booklets. I pulled them out, handed them out, and I ignored Evan. We're just going to go through the Bible. Evan looked up. He said, nuh-uh, I'm not doing this. And he got up from the table. He walked out the back door, got in his Mustang, and he took off. Amy fell apart. She buried her head in Nicole's shoulder. And she says, I don't understand why my boyfriend doesn't love the Lord. And she just cries. Now, Sheila is livid in the kitchen. She disrespected the preacher. And, of course, Jackie, he's just sitting there reading the paper in the easy chair. And I looked at Amy and I said, Amy, I said, don't you think we need to do this study regardless? And she says, yes. I said, take your Bible to John 8:32. She did. We got through 2-3 questions, and Evan comes back. He walks in the house. He sits on the table. Amy's so excited. She says, now, Evan, you'll need your Bible. He said, I don't want the Bible. I said, Evan, would you like the little booklet? I don't want the booklets. I just want to listen. And he did. By the end of the study, he's answering all the questions. He's very intelligent. On the second study, we had Amy and Evan over to our home. He took the Bible and the booklets, and he answered every question. He is engaged. Brethren, we're on the way to the cross. It's just a matter of time. But Satan does not give them up easily. And he will strike with all his force in this young couple's life. And I need to tell you how it went, and I will do that tomorrow. We're going to come back to him. The church is changing. When I moved to Willette, the elder said, now, Rob, there's a man that lives across the street. His name's Ed Goolsby. I said, yes, one of the rules that we have for you is leave Ed Goolsby alone. And they said, now, Rob, he's talked to us. He knows the new preacher's coming. He doesn't want you to knock on his door. Just kind of leave him alone. He's a little different. I said, no problem. Rule number one, leave Ed Goolsby alone. You can count on me, brethren. My dog did not know that rule. It's amazing what happens when you do a Bible study with somebody. We started with Ed, and we just kept going. Here's Charles, Mary, and Barry Hunt, and they live, he's the city manager of Carthage. And once again, you know, I was told, he's a city manager. He's already got his church, Rob. You can't reach people like this. He loved house to house, heart to heart. He loved it. And him and Mary read it every time they got it. It was just a matter of time before we encountered each other. We were able to then sit down and do a Bible study. We baptized him, his wife, and his son. Let's just keep going. Here's Ronnie Rhodes. He sat in the pews literally for 30 years. I remember talking to the elders. I said, brethren, who's Ronnie Rhodes? They said, well, he's Marilyn's husband. I said, is he a Christian? No. And I said, well, we need to do a Bible study. One of the elders looked at me and said, no, Rob, if you do a study, you'll run him off. I said, brethren, you can't get more lost than lost. I said, what he needs is a Bible study. So I said, I'm going to engage him. They said, okay. So I walked over to his wife, Marilyn, and I violated one of the rules of evangelism. And Bobby Bates had this written in his personal notes. I didn't understand the rule. The rule is you never ask the believing spouse of an unbelieving mate if you can do a Bible study. He wrote it in his notes. I didn't understand it. I do now. Because when I asked her, I said, it would be okay if we had you over and did a Bible study with your husband. Tears formed in her eyes. She looked at me and said, please don't. At least he comes with me, Rob. It took me a year to overcome that mistake. But I'm relentless. He was on my target list. He had surgery, and that gave me the opening. I went to his house. I spent 2 hours there as he showed me the woodwork. He was an amazing carpenter. I asked him if he'd like to come over for supper. My wife is a great cook. I said, we could get to know each other. He said, yes. I called his wife. I said, Ronnie said he'd like to come over to the house for dinner. So they both came over and we sat down and eventually we got to that Bible study and he was baptized. Brethren, when I started at Willette, we were somewhere around 225 to 230 and we're 45 minutes from a Walmart or grocery store. You got to go down to Cookeville or over to Lafayette, little closer. And we went from 240 to 250 to 260. No one moves to Willette. Right? It's the middle of nowhere. 270, 280, 290, 300. How did that happen? because we became very intentional about evangelism. We went from one to another, and we just kept doing studies, and we learned how to engage people. We learned how to get people to open the Bible. We learned how to stop stepping on the landmines and destroying opportunities and burning bridges, but yet building bridges with people in our community and learning how to engage people. It was an amazing 11 and a half years. When Alan Webster called and said, would you move down to Jacksonville, Rob, and start a school? After a little time, he warned me. You know, we kind of, it took a little time to get to that point. But when I finally said yes, I remember sitting there talking to Alan. He said, now, Rob, he says, I believe in what you're doing. He said, that's why you're here. He said, but this church doesn't. They don't know you. He said, you'll have to prove to this congregation that evangelism works here just like it worked in Willette. So I just looked at Alan. I said, Alan, I said, can you give me a list of names of all the people in this church that are lost, people that have not obeyed the gospel? And he gave me the list. The first person on the list was Jerry Connolly. I said, let's go visit. I said, take me to his house. So Alan drove over to the house of Jerry Connolly, and he knocked on the door, right? And he opened the door, and he said, hey, Alan. And man, everybody loves Alan. He's been the preacher there for years. And he said, well, who you got with you? He said, well, one of our new members. He just moved here, Rob Whitaker. And, Rob Whitaker, nice to meet you. Rob Whitaker, where are you from? I said, Tennessee and Texas. He said, do you know anything about the history of Alabama? I said, not a thing. He said, well, let me tell you all about it. He looked up at the hills. He said, up here in these hills were the old iron ore mine, Rob. He says, in the Great War, I got the complete history lesson of the state of Alabama. Brethren, if I've got to get a history lesson on the state of Alabama to get a Bible study, so be it. Because I will become all things to all men that some might be saved. I have one mission at the house of Jerry Connolly, and I will not lose sight of my mission. When he was done, I looked at Jerry. I said, Jerry, my little wife from Nashville, Tennessee, knows nothing about the state of Alabama. I said, may I bring her back? Would you tell her this? Oh, anytime, Rob. Be glad. I got more information. I looked at my wife. I said, honey, please, I need you to come back. And so, sure enough, we went back to the house. I introduced him to my wife. Now, Nicole, up here in the old hills. It was a 30-minute lesson. And I smelled something. And I said, Jerry Connolly, I said, what's in the kitchen? He said, an apple pie. Ella Sue's made you one. I said, this is wonderful. We went into the kitchen. We're eating pie. I said, Jerry, how long have you been married to Ella Sue? Well, her husband died about 4 or 5 years ago. My wife died. We were high school sweethearts. We kind of got hooked back up. And here I am. I said, well, you know about the Church of Christ? No, I don't know anything about the Church of Christ. I just go with Ella Sue. I said, well, do you like it? He said, oh, the nicest people. I said, would you like to learn more? He said, I would. I said, I just so happen to have, let me see, these little booklets. I said, Jerry, is it okay if we sit down? Maybe. Oh, yeah, anytime. I said, what about now? He said, well, that'd be fine. It's called a Bible study. It's amazing what happens when you do them. I have never seen a man drive faster to the baptistry than Jerry Connolly. I literally couldn't keep up with him. He didn't know he was lost. You want to know why people are not sitting in the pews of the churches of Christ? Let me be very clear. They don't know they're lost. They don't know. I want to tell you one more story. I'm going to take a break. I'm building. I've got to build this. So we're going to build one pillar at a time. And when you come back after this break, I'm going to teach you three things that Jesus did that made him the greatest evangelist who ever lived. I want to introduce you to this young man. His name's Mel. He was my best friend growing up. I grew up in Boulevardy, Texas. Rattlesnakes, scorpions, chickens, goats, horses, cows. That's how I grew up. I can remember one day I looked at my mama and I said, Mama, I'm bored. She said, go make a friend then. So I did. I traveled a half a mile up the road to the next ranch or the next house. I knocked on the door. He came to the door. And I looked at him and I said, would you be my friend? He said, yes. Now, we call that a Facebook friend request today, but back then that worked very well. And so that's how I grew up. We rode horses, we fished, we hunted. I mean, just there's something about Mel Hutzler that's very different. And I didn't understand it. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, I said, why are there crosses all over the house? Rob, wow. I said, Dad, why are there statues of Mary? And Dad, why does he why is he an altar boy? What is that? I've never heard of that. And Dad, they go to church like every day, and even on Saturday. And he said, well, son, let me tell you about Mel and his family. And he told me about their religion. I didn't know anything about it. After my dad was done, I decided I wanted to do something about it. I want Mel to become a Christian. And I don't know how to do it. So all I know to do is to take my Bible and read it to him. So Mel and I started when about middle school, and I'd read a passage of scripture to Mel, and I said, Mel, can you explain that passage to me? He said, well, he said, I'm not sure. Let me go home and ask my dad. He would. Never got an answer. And I said, well, Mel, I said, can you explain to me why? And I give him another example. And he said, sure, I'll take him home and I'll ask my dad. Never got an answer. But we literally did this. I mean, this became routine. And we started reading our Bibles. And I'd ask questions. He never had answers. Never. And so this happened all through high school. And then he started to go into meetings with me and lectureships with me. And I can remember him hearing for the first time, John Shannon had become a Christian. He was a baker in Memphis. He had this sermon he did at a lectureship. It was a sheet sermon. He hung it up. I can remember Mel and I talking about that sermon. So I was bringing him to church and he was asking, and we just read the Bible. It was an incredible experience as I grew up. One day Mel has me in my room. He looked at me. I'm a senior in high school. He said, Rob, every time we have discussions about the Bible, every time, everything you believe is in this book, nothing I believe is in that book. He says, I'm tired of getting no answers. He says, I want to become a Christian. Will you help me? Wow. That was one of those pivot points in life. And I felt that was great. I went to my parents. I said, hey, Mom and Dad, and they were really proud. They said, Mel, we're so thankful for your decision. This is great. We'll help you, whatever it needs you. So that evening, Mel and I are talking. He said, Rob, I do, that afternoon, he said, I do have one request. I said, what is it? Can you explain this to my dad? Well, there's something about his dad that you don't know that I need to tell you. Number one, he's a scary man. I don't talk to him. He uses four-letter words that I will not repeat. He yells most of the time. I've rarely heard him talk. And I just stay away from him. The rule, I'd stay away from Mel's dad. That's the rule. Mel wants me to go talk to him. I said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go talk to Mel's parents. This won't take long. And I figured I'd convert him. I mean, I had no reason to believe I wouldn't. So we went over to the house. We got our Bibles out. Mel's dad got his Bible out. We sat on a table. And his dad said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, Mr. Hutzler, can you explain to me why? In Acts chapter 8, let's read it, 35 through 39. I read the verses. I said, now why in the Bible do you have to go down into the water and up out of the water? But Mr. Hutzler, explain to me this. Why do y'all sprinkle babies? He made a fist. He hit it on the table as hard as he could. He slammed his Bible on the table and he pointed at me. He says, get out of this house. He said, we're not talking about this. Mel looked over at his dad. He says, Dad, I've been asking for years. I just want an answer. Dad, why don't we do it like this? He says, we don't owe him an explanation. He says, Dad, I need an explanation. I want to know why I believe what I believe. He said, we're not talking about this anymore. And his dad got up. Now he's two fists. His dad's very angry. He's yelling. He's cursing. He's hit his fist on the table several times. Mel and him are talking. I'm trying to get as far away from this as possible. And finally, his dad looked at me, and he came at me. Mel stood in front of his dad. He looked over his shoulder, and he said, Rob, I need you to leave the house. If my dad gets to you, he will hurt you. I'd never been that scared in my life. I ran out of the house. I ran over to my parents' house, back to my house. I'm 18 years old. I crawled into the arms of my mother, and I just bawled. I said, Mom, I don't know. I don't understand what just happened. All I did was read the Bible. 9 o'clock that night, the doorbell rang. It's Mel Hutzler. He has two suitcases in his hand. He looked at my dad, and he said, Mr. Whitaker. He said, my father said I could stay home as long as I stayed in this religion, or I could leave. If I choose to leave it, I have no place to live. Mr. Whitaker, I want to be a Christian and I need a place to live tonight. My mother grabbed him and hugged him. She says, son, you will always have a place to live in this house. Mel Hutzler moved into my house and he lived with us for a good while. I was attending at the Northern Oaks Church of Christ. Daryl Connolly was my preacher. I was waiting for Mel to respond. He didn't. The choice he's having to make is agonizing. I cannot understand how hard it must be. My dad sat down and said, Mel, is there any way you can meet with your dad and make peace? He sat down with his dad, and I want you to listen to the conversation or the results. His dad looked at him and said, okay, if you want to be a Christian, so be it. He said, but you got to do a Bible study with a Monsignor. If you do the Bible study with a Monsignor and you still want to be a Christian, you can come back home. And Mel told me that. I said, Mel, this is wonderful. We're going to convert that whole church. This is great. I said, we've got to get ready for this Bible study. I said, so every day I went to Daryl Connolly. I said, Brother Connolly, teach me. What do I need to know to have this Bible study with this Monsignor? Now, we're in Boulevardy, little town. San Antonio, big city. Monsignor in San Antonio. He drives all the way up to Boulevardy to do the study. His dad is a big giver. They will not lose him. The day of the study, Mel looked at me and I said, Mel, I'm sick. I've got a stomach virus. We've got to postpone it. He said, Rob, my dad said, Rob, I didn't have the heart to tell you, but my dad said, you can't come. I've got to do this alone. I said, Mel, you can't have a study with a Monsignor by yourself. I said, Mel, you're not prepared for that. He said, Rob, listen. I won't be. And he held up his Bible. Mel drove to that place or house of worship. They sat down in the office. The Monsignor began, and Mel listened. And Mel said, Mr. Monsignor, can I read to you a passage of scripture? He said, sure, go ahead. And he started reading Acts 8, 35 through 39, the Ethiopian eunuch. They went down into the water. And he said, now you don't have to read that. He said, but I want to read it, Mr. Monsignor. And he continued to read the passage. And the Monsignor said, now Mel, you don't have to read that. He said, I want to read it. The Monsignor took the Bible and closed it. He said, son, he says, stop reading that book. Mel opened the book again and he read it again. He said, I want you to tell me why we don't do this. And the Monsignor took the Bible out of his hands, laid it on the desk and said, you need to know something about us. We don't just go by the Bible. He actually said that. We go by the Bible and tradition, and it's my job to teach you that tradition. Mel picked up his Bible and he said, Mr. Monsignor, as far as I'm concerned, this Bible study is over. Sunday morning at the Northern Oaks Church of Christ, Mel Hutzler walked forward. I saw a young man love his heavenly father more than his earthly father, and he was baptized. That picture I showed you just a few minutes ago was a picture of Mel and I graduation night at the Southwest School of Bible Studies in Austin, Texas. We went to preach. That young man is the most courageous young man I've ever met. Today, he is the preacher at the Northern Oaks Church of Christ, where he also serves as one of their elders. Now, let's read this passage. Jesus said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white unto harvest. Brother, they are white unto harvest in Tanzania, and we're baptizing people in Tanzania. They are white unto harvest in Scotland. The good work of Brother Graham McDonald, we're baptizing people. They're wide into harvest in India. And with the good works going on there, we're baptizing people. They're wide into harvest in Jamaica. And with the good works going there, we're baptizing people. Brothers and sisters, they're wide into harvest in Huntsville, Alabama. We don't have to travel halfway around the world to evangelize. Because your next door neighbor is depending on you. What I want to do during this seminar is to show you how to do it. We're going to take a 5-minute break, stretch your legs, go to the bathroom, get some water, and make sure you come back. Everybody should have in their hands right now an Evangelism Simplified Guidebook. Hold those up, everybody. You got them? Everybody hold those up. On the end, at the very end of those, we're going to start taking notes. And I'm going to have you open it up. We're going to write things down. And we're going to begin building a strategy to be more like Jesus. I'm going to start with number one. So we'll do that when we come back. And let's take 5 minutes. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org. www.westhuntsvillechurch.org.